Mike Tagubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again. In that mighty and marvelous name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're delighted that you've turned your radio dial to join us for a few moments of fellowship around the truth of God's Word. And I invite you to get your Bible or New Testament and turn with us to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. That's where we're going to begin our Bible study today. But as you're getting your Bible or New Testament and turning to Ephesians chapter 4, I want to just briefly remind you about our study. We're studying about why the Word of God is so important. Why it's so important. One reason, God's Word is the most important piece of literature ever written, beloved. God's Word has been written over a period of 1500 to 1600 years by some 40 different authors under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and yet the first book agrees with the last book. This is the most important piece of literature ever written, beloved, and God magnifies His Word above His name. That is, His name is to be reverenced, His name is to be honored. Exodus 27 says, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And yet God magnifies his word above his name, Psalm 138:2 tells us. Yes, God's word is so vitally important. God's Word brings people to Jesus Christ as Savior. 1 Peter 1:23 in the New Testament says, Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's God's Word, beloved, that convicts us of sin and open our eyes to the truth. And God's Word brings blessings on those who read, hear, and obey it. Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 15:16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Yes, Jesus said in Luke 11:28, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Yes, God's Word strengthens our faith, Romans 10:17 tells us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It makes the believer holy, we're told, and it makes the food holy. 1 Timothy tells us that we should read the Word and pray before we eat food, because God's Word sanctifies and makes it holy. Reading and studying God's Word is an act of obedience. We're admonished to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Reading and meditating on God's Word is profitable and will make one successful and will make one wise. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that. And also Proverbs 2:6 and Colossians 3:6a, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Oh, beloved, God's word is so important. It's so important that you get into it. Reading God's word will feed you spiritually. It will help you to grow in the knowledge of the truth. We're told in 1 Peter 2:2 and 3, As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Oh, yes, if ye have done so, you'll see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, beloved, God's Word will enrich your life. It will bless your heart. It will thrill your soul and your spirit. And it will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the milk of the Word, and then there's the meat of the Word. And we're told in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 through 14 concerning the ministry and the work of the Lord. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That is, to help us to grow in our walk with the Lord and mature. The word perfecting is an old English word that refers to maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is God's goal for you and I. That's why He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers there to teach and to expound on the Word of Truth, that which I'm reading to you and that which we're talking about right now, because the Word of God is what helps us to grow spiritually. The truths of God's Word help us to grow up, to be reflections of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live like Jesus lived, to walk like Jesus walked, that is, to walk in love, the love of God, and to show forth mercy and kindness and thoughtfulness and compassion to those who are hurting and to those about us who are in need. Verse 14, that we henceforth, from this time forth, now that we've accepted Christ as Savior, be no more children. Children are born again, new babes in Christ. We need the simple truths of God's Word so that we can grow to eat the more involved truths of God's Word, so that we can grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in the knowledge of the truth, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Christ. That's God's goal for you and me, beloved. He wants us to grow up into Christ in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see, beloved, every born-again believer becomes a part of the body of Christ. If you will turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to explain this to you a little more in detail. You see, beloved, again, it's the Word of God that teaches us, and it's the Word of God that helps us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 12, we read, "For as the body, the physical body, is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, we are all baptized into one body of believers, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." That is, through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting Him as Savior, inviting Him to come into our life to forgive us for our sins, the Holy Spirit of God moves into our spirit, and we are immersed spiritually in our spirit. Remember, man's a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. We've read this before in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We're a triune being, and it's the spiritual part of us that the Holy Spirit of God moves into and cleanses from sin and gives us eternal life within our spirit so that we will never die. Eternal life, so that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. eternal life. And so it's the work of the Holy Spirit who immerses us into the body of believers. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And he's explaining to us about this body of believers. You're becoming a part of the family of God, the body of believers. And so he's using the illustration of our physical body and different members that we have in our physical body, like fingernails on our fingers. That's a little member of the body. Each joint and each part of your hand that bends, each one of those little different connections there, that's a member of the body. The eye, the ears, the head, the toes on the feet. I was reading the other day in the Old Testament about how that when Israel would conquer a nation, they would take the king and they'd cut off his thumbs and they'd cut off his big toes. Why? Because it's very hard to do anything without your thumbs, and it's very hard for you to stand and balance without the big toe. The big toe and the thumbs, so important in the members of our body, in the hand and in the feet. And so they would do that when they conquered a nation and when they conquered a king. They would cut off his thumbs and his big toes. They'd still let him live, but they'd cut off those members of the body which were so important to the functioning of the body, so that he was crippled the rest of his life and could not function as a normal human being and could not raise up an army to come against them again. And so we see that these are different members of our body. And as we accept Christ as Savior, we are immersed into the body of believers. And so he says in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling?" You see, every part of the body is necessary, beloved. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." And so each one of us have a part in the body of Christ, in serving the Lord Jesus Christ and living for him when we accept him as Savior. Till next time, goodbye.